From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Chris Nichols, in for Vicky Gonzalez. The race for California's next governor is still a year away, but leading Democratic candidate Katie Porter is facing some harsh criticism over her behavior in a recent interview. In a video released last week by CBS News Sacramento, Porter appeared visibly frustrated when reporter Julie Watts asked her a question. She asked what Porter, a former congresswoman from Orange County, would say to the 40% of Californians who voted for Donald Trump. After a brief back and forth, Porter then threatened to end the interview. She ultimately answered the question and stayed for the interview, but the exchange went viral, drawing criticism from both Democrats and Republicans. Shortly after, older videos resurfaced of Porter yelling at a staffer. The situation has raised questions about Porter's temperament and also about potential double standards that women running for office are held to. We reached out to CBS and Watts to join us today. A network spokesperson said she's unavailable for interviews on the topic. But the station said in a statement that Watts conducted interviews with all 12 gubernatorial candidates as part of a series, which has now been released online. We also reached out to Porter's campaign for comment, but didn't hear back before airtime. Joining us now are Jeremy White, senior California politics and policy reporter for Politico, and CAP Radio politics reporter Gerardo Zavala. Welcome to you both.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, Chris.
Jeremy, great to have you back on Insights. Could you give us just a little bit of background on Porter and the race for governor? She's been leading early on in the polls, right?
That's right. With former Vice President Kamala Harris taking a pass on this one, polls consistently show that Katie Porter is the front runner, not in a commanding, can't be beaten kind of way, but certainly the one who is the candidate to beat among the half dozen Democrats in the race at this point.
Okay. And then, Jeremy, the race overall, I mean, have there been any major fireworks, at least before this video was released last week?
You know, Chris, until this moment, the biggest sort of drama in the race was really whether or not Kamala Harris would run. Once she finally made her decision, the race showed signs of unfreezing, donors getting off the sidelines. And then California got into this big redistricting battle with Texas, which really shifted a lot of the campaign attention to Proposition 50. And so the governor's race has been fairly quiet and under the radar. Some of the events that you described in your intro last week involving Katie Porter have certainly injected some fresh tension into it.
Right. Well, speaking of this fresh tension, how has Porter's campaign, how have they responded to all of this? And also, what have her supporters been saying?
You know, people who like Katie Porter, a lot of people have been drawn to her bluntness, her aggressiveness when it comes to doing things like questioning corporate executives in Congress. Her message has always been, I'm not afraid to stand up to people and back down. And that's something that really appeals and won her a lot of acclaim and attention when she was doing it, again, with powerful people in Congress. It reads a little bit differently when it's a journalist or a staffer. And so Katie Porter's supporters will say, look, she is who she is. She's a confident, assertive person. Other people who watch these exchanges may have seen it differently.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, other folks, including her opponents, her critics, they've probably framed it differently. How have they been speaking about it?
They have cast her behavior as inappropriate, disproportionate. As you mentioned at the outset, they've raised questions about her temperament or fitness. You know, Chris, I think politically, the negative episodes that really tend to resonate are the ones that play into some criticisms or preconceptions already out there. And so I think in Katie Porter's case, there has been this sense around her for a while that sometimes she can be a little intense, a little abrasive, a little tough on her staffers. And these videos really played into that in a way that confirmed some wariness that people have about her being the next governor. And it should be said, of course, rival campaigns who jumped on this want to take advantage of her gaffe and make up some ground in this race. So it's not as if people who are criticizing her are doing it from a neutral place necessarily. But I do think it speaks to some critiques that were already out there.
Gerardo, you know, when this story broke last week, you and I spoke a little bit about it in the newsroom. We talked about, you know, how are we going to handle this? And one idea was to reach out to some veteran political science professors who have looked at campaigns through the years, through the decades. You spoke with several. What was their view of how Porter answered these questions?
Yeah, I spoke with Kim Nalder at Sac State and Meredith Conroy at CSU San Bernardino. They both agreed that Porter should have been able to answer the question without challenging the reporter, even if she was pointing out a flaw in how it might have been asked. But both of the professors noted that the amount of scrutiny she's received over the incident has been more than what they expected.
Okay, so then are people maybe missing some context behind Porter's reaction, given that she ultimately did answer the question and also finish the interview?
Yeah, so Meredith Conroy studies gender and politics, and I asked her about that. As you mentioned before, Porter does eventually say, answer the question. She says that she will work to build support from Republicans, noting that she represented a purple district in Orange County where she earned votes from both parties. But Conroy says Porter's frustration seemed directed not at the question itself, but the implication that she needed Trump voters to win.
She does end up answering the question, and then narrative about this exchange doesn't mention that. So I think that does have a lot to do with how a story about a female candidate who wants to be governor is agitated. That's the story. And there's evidence of the agitation in the video exchange. And that's where people's attention span ends. It's a story of a woman who can't handle difficult questions, and this video squares with that.
Okay, so Porter's reaction might have been the latest instance of a politician reacting sharply during an interview, but this is a situation that's played out before here in California and across the country. Gerardo, tell us a little more about that.
So Conroy told me that what she's seen is that male politicians don't often face as harsh of a reaction as what we're seeing with Porter, you know, when they exhibit similar behaviors. There are lots of examples of politicians either walking out of interviews or being combative with reporters. Newsom did both when he was mayor of San Francisco, and he's our governor now. Trump routinely berates journalists and calls out their integrity. But Conroy says a big part of that is the double standard that we see for women in politics, but also something called the double bind.
A double standard is when a man and a woman exhibit the same behavior, but it's interpreted differently because of gendered expectations. Another important word here is a double bind. So a double bind emerges when desirable traits require more investment for one group over another. In other words, in politics, notions of leadership overlap more with notions about what it means to be a man than they do with what it means to be a woman. So when you have Gavin Newsom, you know, having an uncomfortable exchange with a journalist, or you know, Donald Trump, you know, literally yelling at journalists from the podium, that's consistent with leadership and what it means to be a man. Combativeness and aggressiveness is seen as a leadership trait in a lot of political contexts. But when a woman is aggressive, people struggle with that because they're like, okay, but that's not what women should be doing.
All right. Well, Jeremy, I want to go back to you for this question. Of course, you're covering Porter, but also the other candidates in the race. I'm wondering, do you think this episode is going to have a significant impact on Porter's standings? And is it sort of an opening of the door for other candidates to emerge?
It's a great question. It's obviously too early to know if this will really impact Katie Porter's status in the race. Certainly the fact that it caught national attention and prompted something of a pile-on is not great for her. But I think what it also does is speak to this dynamic where there are a lot of people in and around California politics who see that Katie Porter is leading in the polls, and for reasons of having to do with her policy agenda or her character, whatever it is, there's a lot of folks who would like to see somebody else win this race. And so certainly I think this stumble will intensify that. I think this is why you've seen a lot of interest in Senator Alex Padilla getting in, a feeling that maybe we could have another option as a front runner here. So certainly it was not a good week for Katie Porter. The first vote in this race is many months away. I suspect a lot of voters, if they even heard about this, will have forgotten about it. But I think it might be more significant with the sort of political class that's thinking about who to back, who to encourage to run, who to endorse. It could have some repercussions on that side of the ledger.
You know, Jeremy, a day after the CBS interview video came out, Politico also published a video from several years back when Porter sort of, you know, sternly told a staffer to get out of her shot, I think was the term she used. Has this been a pattern with Porter? Has she faced accusations in the past that she was difficult to work with or created a difficult work environment?
She has. This is a reputation that has followed her for a while. It's something that was certainly covered when she was in Washington. And again, it does get into some tricky questions of double standards. And I think any person would want their elected representative to work hard and to work their staff hard as a result. There's a line somewhere where it crosses from expecting a lot of your staff and working hard for your constituents into maybe a question about your judgment or your way of operating, which I think then can raise fair questions about your ability to be effective with your staff, with other people you're negotiating with, that type of thing. So I think a lot of this is kind of in the eye of the beholder in terms of whether this is just a tough boss being tough or something more than that. But it's certainly not a new allegation. And that, again, I think is why it resonated in the way it did and why you saw a lot of people, including people in Washington, who have crossed paths with Katie Porter saying, yeah, that tracks.
Okay, so Gerardo, speaking of Porter's time in Washington, when she was in Congress, she was a very visible representative, as Jeremy has alluded to. For example, her whiteboard, she would carry that around. She would question individuals, powerful individuals, during hearings. Has that image of Porter carried over to her profile here in California as she's run for governor?
Yeah, it's a great question. I would say yes and no. For anyone who knows this about her, you know, the whiteboard, this interaction might not have come as a surprise to them. Although, I mean, if you heard about it and then watched it, I think Kim Nalder said she was expecting it to be something else. And then she was surprised that the question was actually very basic. But she did tell me that, you know, this could damage Porter's campaign, especially at this early stage when most voters are still learning who she is. She says that despite the visibility she had as a member of Congress, this moment might be a voter's first impression of her, and that image could stick with her throughout the rest of her campaign. She also said that the narrative that she seemingly can't answer a basic question goes against her reputation of using a whiteboard, you know, and grilling powerful figures in congressional hearings.
So Gerardo, Porter is only one of two women running for California governor in 2026. The other is Betty Yee. Could the scrutiny she's under impact other women looking to run for office in the future?
Yeah, so first, it's important to note California is one of 18 states that has never had a woman governor. And although most of the other Democratic candidates have scrutinized Porter, you know, Betty Yee's statement was among the harshest, calling her a weak, self-destructive candidate, unfit to lead California. Meredith Conroy with CSU San Bernardino, she says her research does show that women historically receive more scrutiny when they run for office, and that the anticipation of scrutiny is a large reason women are less likely to run. In this case, with Katie Porter being a front runner for governor in the biggest state in the country, she thinks this incident will likely discourage other women from running in the future.
Okay, but based on your reporting, Gerardo, did you get a sense of whether a video like this would actually be enough to derail a campaign?
Yeah, it's another great question. I think it's too early to say, and a lot of this, you know, will have to do with how Porter and her team responds and if more videos of her yelling at staff, you know, are resurfaced. But Nalder told me that the standards of what can derail a political campaign have shifted dramatically in recent years.
The goalposts have shifted so dramatically in the Trump era for what can derail a politician's career or their campaign. I mean, you know, Trump has walked out on tons of interviews and he says prickly, harsh things constantly. And, you know, it seems like there are very few consequences for him. Contrast that with, like, Howard Dean did a scream one time in a crowded, loud room and that derailed his campaign. So the standards and the stake, you know, are really different than they used to be. But I think we need to remember that it's different for different people. Women don't tend to get as much of a pass on things like that. You know, there's this subconscious, maybe even tendency for people to think that women are going to be nurturing and compassionate and kind, fairly or unfairly. And so female politicians have to put out that kind of energy, but at the same time be tough and smart and capable. And so any kind of diversion from that very, very thin tightrope can can backfire for women in a way that it wouldn't for a man.
Okay, so we've still got a year left in this race. We've got one more question for each of you. Jeremy, I'll start with you. What are you going to be keeping an eye on as this race continues?
I'm curious to see who else gets in. I think there's a real feeling out there, as we've referenced, that this field is not fully set. Senator Alex Padilla has been seriously considering it. Rick Caruso, a billionaire, former mayoral candidate in Los Angeles, even Tom Steyer, who you may remember funding a lot of ballot initiatives, briefly running for president, dipped his toe back in the political waters by releasing a very expensive ad spot for Proposition 50. So I'm waiting to see who else gets in, because that is really going to determine, I think, Katie Porter's standing more than anything else.
And Gerardo, same question. Who are you looking at? And also, what issues are you interested in seeing where the candidates land on and what they talk about?
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting, especially after this, just following the fallout of this incident. And, you know, as Jeremy mentioned, people like Senator Alex Padilla are, you know, debating jumping in, and especially after this. So just kind of looking into that and how the conversation around this incident continues to be covered, and if that inspires any, you know, new faces to join the race.
Well, Gerardo, Jeremy, thank you so much for being on Insight.
Thanks, Chris.
Always a pleasure.
Jeremy White is the senior California politics and policy reporter for Politico, and Gerardo Zavala is one of Cap Radio's politics reporters. We've been talking about the fallout, reactions, and questions around 2026 gubernatorial candidate Katie Porter following the release of an interview with CBS Sacramento that went viral last week. Up next, a job fair created by people with disabilities for people with disabilities. It's taking place tomorrow in Sacramento. We'll learn more. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Chris Nichols.